Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is Matthew chapter 15. Here again the part that reads, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he answered her, 'Not a word.' You may be seated." Well, people, there are dynamics in this text and the text that we've heard that expand our minds to what the will of God really is. In Isaiah 56:6, we hear about foreigners joining themselves to the Lord. In verse 7, their sacrifices are being accepted. In Romans chapter 11, Paul deals with the disobedience of the Jews and the acceptance of the Gentiles. The conclusion is that God's mercy in Jesus Christ is going out throughout the world, yes, even to all the disobedient. And then we come to our text. It is not a very pretty text. Jesus is not described as a warm, cuddly Savior for people to snuggle up closely to. In fact, I find him downright harsh. But our own ideas about Jesus do not change Jesus as some churches would like to do. We are servants of the Word who are prompted to ask, "Why is Jesus this way?" And so this morning we will search the text and learn. Today we meet a woman crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David." Our ears hear a perfectly logical, sincere, heart-filled, respectful, solid theological and churchly request in the presence of Jesus. But Jesus will have none of it. Or does he? Next slide. We'll unpack her words a little. "O Lord," words we hear in church whose origins go back into history. Outside of the church, there are those outside of the church, those who believe the Lord has applied to this, the word Lord is applied to humans, like master or head of the house. You know, in Canada and England, each of their parliaments has a House of Lords, right? Yes, people of high standing, rulers to be obeyed. When Lord is pointed to God, he is the head God, the top one. There is no one greater. Better obey him. He's the top dog. But if we go ahead and dig deeper into the Old Testament, even our English Bibles, we'll find that there's another use for Lord. If we turn to Genesis 2:4, we see the word Lord, or the words Lord God. Next slide. O Lord, Genesis 2:4, but it's different. L-O-R-D, with those small caps right behind it. That points to the next slide. It is a reference to God's personal name, Yahweh. She saw Jesus, a human being with power. Did she really know who Jesus was? Was Jesus Lord as in master? Or was Jesus Lord requesting God's personal name? Or is it both? The English and the Greek don't tell us. So we are left to ponder, who does she think Jesus is? Then the woman cries out, "Son of David." The name David would refer us all the way back to the shepherd boy, right? Our Lord anointed him as king through Samuel. God promised David there would be one who would sit on his throne forever. In other words, a son from his own line. Generation after generation, there was a son of David on the throne of Israel. Most became worse and worse. Oh, there were blips of little improvement until finally God removed the last one from the throne through the king of Babylon. Had God's promise failed? No, for after 400 years of dormancy, Matthew's gospel reveals God's plan in his genealogy. Here is Jesus, the fulfillment of the promise to David. He is the Davidic king, the son of David. Wow. This woman really knows her Bible. She gets it right. What a claim she has on Jesus. She confesses Jesus as Lord and confesses Jesus as son of David. But Jesus answers her not a word. Silence. What do you mean? The woman called Jesus all by the right names. Why does she deserve to be treated like this? She's desperate. She's pleading for her daughter. Certainly, her need warrants Jesus' help. Imagine being a parent, handling and living with a child that's demon-possessed. There was no Prairie St. John's or psychiatric ward in a hospital. And we've put people in places like that for less. Do we want them to receive help? Or is it that we can't endure their behavior, words, and attitudes anymore? Examine your heart and see. Yes, Jesus doesn't listen to her claim. Why Matthew helps us by telling us where Jesus is. He is in the region of Tyre and Sidon, outside of Israel. He's in a foreign country outside of Judah, even away from Galilee. Matthew tells us what kind of woman she is. She is a Canaanite. Well, that takes us way far back. Canaanites inhabited the land that Abraham's descendants were to inherit. They were the people the Israelites were to dispose of, destroy, put to death as they entered into the promised land, the land of Canaan. You see, this woman is a mark of Israel's failure to heed God's word. So later, when David becomes king, he makes them slaves like dogs of a master. So what claim does this woman have on Jesus? None. He ignores her. His disciples can't stand her pleading. She probably hears Jesus' answer. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel, a lost sheep of the house of Israel. She cannot cash in on Jesus by using church language. She cannot cover up who she is and act like one of the sheep, like a church person. Her hypocrisy is confronted. In verse 25, she changes her address and her request. Lord, help me. She has no claim as to God's chosen people. And Matthew helps us wonder as he records her words. Is she calling Jesus by God's personal name or simply by calling him a master? Again, we're not told, but Jesus' words are cutting so deeply that she cannot make a claim on Jesus for her daughter or even for herself. Jesus had said, it is not right for to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Hypocrisy. Confronted. Dogs are outside of the kingdom of God. where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, as we read in Revelation 22:15. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral, the murderers and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Here we might remember Jesus' words from Matthew 7:6. Do not give to the dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. You maybe have seen this. People whom you've helped, or maybe the church has helped, and not long they turn against the church they benefited from, when it doesn't serve them. Here, Jesus honors the boundaries of Israel and God's promise to them. When we recall Jesus' response to the Samaritan woman in John 4:22, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, that salvation is from the Jews." So that comes to us with a question. Then, what about us non-Jews? Why are we here and included among God's people? Do we deserve to call Jesus the Son of David? No. Do we deserve him to call him Lord? And if he is, we call him Lord, is he like one, a master that we are to obey? We are a slave? Or are we calling him our Savior? Test your heart. Test and see if we trust something other than God's word. Do we consult horoscopes, trust the stock markets more than him? Is our sexual life the way God has intended? Do we put the best construction on what people say and do? Do we enjoy tricking people in what we sell? Have we taken advantage of government funds and not used them for the purposes for which they were intended, or used them to support our own laziness? You see, Jesus confronts our hypocrisy. What can we pray in our desperate need but, "Oh Lord, oh God, I don't want to be such a dog without hope, but I am, and Jesus knows it. I'm exposed and can't cover it up. I don't deserve to be in your presence." But you see, in this woman, faith is born. And here's hope in Jesus' hard word. One can imagine what caused her to think God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it, including dogs. Yes, puppies, fed by his children. That's the word Jesus has used. He uses the word puppy. Jesus' words allows this undeserving woman to hear good news for her. She has no claim on Jesus by flowery church words or even because of her desperate need. She has no claim because of her past, but her claim comes from Jesus' own word. And faith responds, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from her master's table." Yes, I, an undeserving dog, am a person for whom Jesus came to save. He is the only blessing, master, there is. Faith hears that little word of hope after all the hypocrisy has been crushed. He has claimed her by his word. "He called me his own little puppy. That's my claim. I belong to him." Wow, what a Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.